course, I want to consider Christ's birth this morning. Very simply put, I want to consider that in becoming a child, the Son of God made it possible for us to be children of God. And as His children, loved by Him, loved by the Father, in the same way, just as, even as He loves His one and only Son. Before I turn to just a couple of passages, join me again in prayer if you would. Father, as we turn once again to Your Word, guard us, keep us from mishandling it, me from taking it out of context, which I am, but making it say the wrong thing. May it be true to what You are saying in context, Father, and may You bring it home to our hearts. Have mercy upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. The first passage I want to look briefly at is in Galatians chapter 4. It very succinctly tells us that in essence, God the Son became a man. He was born. Christmas happened that we could be adopted as God's children. So Christ was born. God the Son was born as Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, born for adoption, not for His. He wasn't put up for adoption, but born that we could be adopted. In Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, very much jumping into the middle of a context here, but what it says is very clear and very simply states what I am saying here this morning because it comes from the Word. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. So let's pick that apart just a little bit to make sure we understand it. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son. In other words, just the right time, when everything was in place, according to God's plan, in time, though God Himself is outside of time, in the fullness of time, when time was ripe, when it was just right, His one and only Son was born. When the time was right, Genesis 3:15, see, your left, my right is the past, Old Testament, right? Genesis 3:15. Lamech's hope that Noah would bring rest. The promises and the covenant to Abraham. And it continues all the way through till we get to those passages in the prophets that we've been reading for the past 4 weeks that get ever and ever clearer. And yet nothing is as clear as hindsight. Hindsight's 20/20, as they say. That once He came, and even after He came and He was an adult, His disciples didn't quite completely get it, and they were seemed like the 12 stooges at times until He died and was ascended and sent the Holy Spirit. Then He got it. Paul was writing this to the Christians in Galatia. And we have this here this morning, and it declares that when the time was just right, God sent forth His Son. A Son not born between God and a union with someone else, but His Son, in that God is three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, inseparable and yet distinct. Distinct persons, yet inseparable in their essence and who they are. You understand that, right? No. Just like you don't understand how the physical reality that is here. You know it's here. At least you're pretty sure it's here. You don't know how it got here. Regardless of what you are believing this morning, there's a God, there is no God. You're here because someone made you show up, or you're not sure why, or it's a tradition. There is a material world that what? Always existed? came into existence, but how? Well, I don't know. I mean, I know how God said, let there be, and it is, but exactly how? I don't know. Just as I don't understand how God can be one yet three, but he is. There has always been God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit, but at just the right time when it was ripe for the picking, so to speak, he sent forth his Son. His one and only Son, true God, fully God, also became fully human. Born of that virgin, became a child, born as a child, didn't show up as an adult. Here I am. But born of a woman and born under the law. Because the law had been given. The greatest or the most well-known example of what the law is would be the Ten Commandments. Most people have some idea about what those are, right? That's what the Lord gave Moses in the wilderness. But all of the Old Testament is called the Law and the Prophets, particularly to a Hebrew or to a Jew. And Jesus was born to a woman, born under the law, both that he was born to a woman and Joseph himself were also Jews, descendants of Abraham, through whom the blessing to all the families of the earth would come, but also means in a time when God had made clear his law. So then all mankind is not only accountable to the fact that there are trees and stars and a sun and a moon and waterfalls and other planets, and we're like, how'd it get here? There must be an invisible, all-powerful God behind it. Not only are we accountable to that, but the Jew is particularly accountable to the law, and he was born under the law. Verse 5, so that he might redeem. That means purchase or ransom. We used to do that with things we put on layaway. I want that. Put it on layaway, your name is on it, you come back, you pay a little more money, pay a little more money, pay a little more money. Now we buy things without having money, but that's how it used to be done, and when it was finally paid for, it was redeemed. But that's just an object, it's not done anything good or bad, right? Well, the concept also carries over to slavery. You would redeem a slave, you would buy a slave, and that slave would become yours. But it also can carry, and does in this situation, the idea of making a payment that sets someone free from the guilt and the just consequences that they deserve. So in other words, someone would be in prison for crimes they committed, and they either stayed there till they died or someone redeemed them. And that's what the Son of God came to do, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, ladies, don't be offended or upset. It says sons, it means sons, and that means that we would be those who couldn't be any closer to God than any of his children, and we would get the inheritance that the Father has for the Son. But in this case, all who believe in his Son, who was born of a woman, to redeem those under the law, become sons. We could say children. Sons carries with it that meaning of inheritance, but become children of God through adoption. Now, adoption, it's an analogy here in Scripture. In our minds, adoption means you have someone who was given up or not wanted, or maybe parents or parent died, which is often the case in Sudan. But that's not the case here. We needed adoption because we were estranged from our one and only Heavenly Father by our rebellion, expressed and played out in our continual choices, even if no one ever saw our choices, they were just thoughts in our head. You ever hate someone? Jesus says, murderer. Ever lust? Adulterer. Ever want something someone else had? Weren't happy for them that they had it and you wanted it? Hope none of that was going on this morning. I hope none of that goes on this afternoon. It's called coveting. He came to redeem, to ransom, and to buy from slavery to that rebellion to God, the Father, and the guilt and the consequences that come with it, that we would be adopted, actually made children of God. And then verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The very Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, dwells in each one who believes in this Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, who died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, who believe in Him for forgiveness of their rebellion against the Maker of heaven and earth, have the Spirit of God in them, are children of God, sons of God, sons and daughters through adoption. That's why Jesus became a child, or God the Son became a child, whose name was Jesus. Becoming a child, the Son of God, made it possible for us to be children of God. The thing is with the whole adoption word, right? In our reality, there's kind of a common truth. Adopted children, and if anyone's adopted here this morning, please don't misunderstand me and please don't be offended, and maybe you can relate, maybe you can't. Praise God if you can't. But I've had some relationships and interactions with adopted children over the years, and they have trouble being content and settled with their adopted parents being their parents. There's that tendency to feel like I have to know my biological one. Or if there's other children, right? If there's other children who aren't adopted, there's always this temptation or this tendency to think that, yeah, I'm their kid, but through adoption. He or she is their child naturally, biologically, by birth. That's where this analogy falls apart. Because though we can be children of God through faith in the Son of God, we've been adopted. Here's the part that's been blowing me away lately. We are loved by the Father with the same kind of love that He loves His one and only Son, His eternal Son, whom He has always known, who has always known Him. Same. Same in quantity, same in quality. No different. And I get that from one more passage I want us to look at this morning. And it's in John. So if you're in your Bibles, you're in Galatians, you have to back up now to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. This is called, we nickname this or call this Jesus' high priestly prayer before His arrest, betrayal, and crucifixion, and then resurrection 3 days later. He is with the disciples, and He lifts up His eyes to heaven and says, that's 17:1. So this whole chapter, He is speaking to His heavenly Father. And in verse 23, I'm really just jumping in the middle of a context here, but I know that what this part of the phrase is saying means what it means, and I'm not going to get into the rest of it. But verse 23 of John 17, As God's one and only Son, born of that woman at just the right time, born under the law, born to a virgin, now an adult male, has never sinned, has done miracles. That's what the Gospel of John particularly points out, confirming that He is the Son of God. And He's about to be crucified, first betrayed, beaten, crucified, and be raised from the dead. And He's speaking with His heavenly Father. He says this, and prior to this, in verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, those who are with Him, but for those also who believe in Me through their words. That's any of us this morning. He says this in verse 23, Speaking to the Father, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Some translations, just as you have loved me. Not that you have loved them, you know, like you've loved me. Not you've loved them with some of the love that you love me, but that you've loved them exactly, just like, even as you have loved me. I think if I was an adopted kid in this life reality, I think I'd probably struggle with that thought if there were some biological kids that maybe, you know, mom and dad or whatever don't love me the same way they love Billy Joe Bob. I know you wanted to hear that name this morning. But in this case, if you are a child of God through faith in his one and only son, yes, you're a child by adoption, but you are loved just like the son. You know, we have a saying, whenever you try something new, you say, oh, it tastes like chicken. But it's not chicken. And you say it tastes like chicken. They even try to make tofu taste like chicken and bacon and everything else. But it's not, is it? No, it's tofu. What is tofu? No one knows. Just kidding. It's great in miso soup. And I bring that up because someone's going to say that. Or you're going to use the term like when you compare something. And you know it's not the real thing, but it's kind of like it. That doesn't apply here. It's just or even in the same way. In the same way that the Heavenly Father has wanted what is good and best for his eternal Son, who willingly became a man, so too he loves each and every one who believes in his Son. What kind of love is that? Well, John says it this way in his letter, 1 John. This is a translation that I think comes from a song. Behold what manner of love the Father has loved us with. What kind of love? None that we know. None that originates in people. Not even between earthly fathers and children or mothers and children. And yet it's what we all want, right? I don't know about these days because I tend not to ever really see any TV and I'm not a watching of sports kind of fan. I rather just do it. And nowadays I really can't, so I don't. But when I was growing up, there was this joke that the biggest, scariest looking football players, if they ever got a moment on camera, they would say, what? What would they say? Love you, Mom! Love you, Mom! Why? Here they are. Maybe they just won the World Series. You wouldn't want to run into them ever because you'd get knocked over. I say, I love you, Mom. Because that's their center. That's been their security. That's been what they could always turn to. Not everyone has that, though, in a mom or a dad. But what we really want in that is to be found in our Heavenly Father. And it can be through faith in his one and only Son. And when our faith is in that Son, who, yeah, was born of a virgin, like, really? Yeah, well, tell me where the first two people came from, or the first person. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, something going on beyond the physical, everyday, verifiable, repeatable reality we know, right? Yeah. And when our faith is in that one, that Jewish carpenter was no mere carpenter who died but was raised, is ascended and will return, we are loved by the eternal Heavenly Father, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the one who has always been, in whom there is no shadow of turning, in whom he is unapproachable light. We are loved by him to the same extent, the same quantity, same quality, in the same way that he loves his son. That's Christmas. In becoming a child, God the Son made it possible for us to be children of God through adoption. Loved just as his Father loves him. I want that. Of all the gifts that anyone might give me, and God has given it. Have you opened that gift? Join me in prayer. We do all want to be loved. You know that full well, Father. You also know we want to be loved on our own terms, in our own ways, and because of our own worthiness, but none of us are, except for one, your only begotten Son, who has come that we might have life, hope. Instead of being without you, God, in the world, we can call you Father. We can be your children, secure in a love like no other, and one that we barely scratch the surface of understanding. But the same love that you have eternally had for your Son. Father, grant that each one of us would have opened that present, that gift, or would open it this morning, and know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, who by your Spirit will then call you Father. No matter what the circumstances or details of this life are. And long for the day when your Son, our Savior, our brother, will return, and we will see you, Father, face to face. Grant that this morning, Heavenly Father, I ask, not based upon anyone's willingness or worthiness here, but upon your Son's willingness and worthiness and sacrifice, that at just the right time you send forth your Son to ransom us and make us your children, loved with the same love with which you love him. It's in his name that we are meeting, in his name that we are able to come before you, in his name that I pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.